So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Today, I wanted to talk to you about changing your self-talk. So self-talk, what is it? So these are the things that we say to ourselves internally when nobody's listening other than ourselves. And this can have a dramatic effect on the way in which we perform our functions, in the activities that we do, the tasks that we do, how much work we do. And I think it's really important just to give you a couple of examples here and show you how to change some of these examples, because these are examples that I've said to myself. So this is like, you know, when you bang your knee on the table, and I know you've done this, but the image I see is in the office with Ricky Gervais, and he bangs his knee on the table and then he kicks the table. And I'm like, I've done that so many times. Do you know what I mean? It's like just my human experience. Like you're blaming the table because I banged my knee into it. You're like, oh, that really hurt. And you go, you whack it. And you're like, you know, these words come out of your brain, into your brain, of, oh, you're so useless. You know, why can you not just walk past the table without banging your knee into it? Things like that. And then there's other things like, I remember my friends going, you're obsessed by money. Obsessed, as though being obsessed with financial freedom was a bad thing. Here we are 20 years later, by the way, living in Spain, and they're probably furloughed right now, 80% of the wage. I don't know what we're doing. I'm not friends with them anymore. But they would say, you're obsessed. And it just makes me, you know, Michael Jordan was obsessed. And I don't like that word obsessed, because it makes it feel, the word obsessed is a negative word. And I don't like negative words. I just noticed there's a boat sticking out of my head again. I don't like negative words. I don't like these ideas that other people are putting on us when they don't even understand who we are, what we've gone through, all that kind of thing. And so the word obsessed, I just want to get rid of that out of our dictionary completely. And how about this? How about we just turn the word obsessed into dedicated? How about that? You're just totally dedicated, you. Like, you can't even say that in a negative way. Try saying it to someone. You know what your problem is? You're too dedicated. Like, that's not even a bad thing, right? But as soon as you turn it around and turn, you know what your problem is? You're obsessed. That's a bad thing. And I don't want that. I don't want people to think that being dedicated to a goal, whatever that goal happens to be, you know what your problem is? Your weight loss problem is that you're obsessed with losing weight. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? You know what your problem is? You're obsessed with financial freedom. Why is that a bad thing? You're obsessed with being the best or the strongest or the wealthiest or the nicest or the kindest. Your problem is that you're obsessed by being the best husband. That's a crazy thing. It's crazy talk. How about we change it? You know what your problem is? You're dedicated to being a good husband. You're dedicated to being the best, to being the wealthiest. You're dedicated to being slim. You're dedicated to living your best life. That's completely different. It's a completely different mindset through the use of a change in one word to a different word. And I don't like it. I don't like these other words that people use to describe us as though they're negative in some way. And, you know, I've had this. I don't get it now because I don't hang out with this circle of people. But they used to say, you know what your problem is? And, you know, by the way, when someone says, you know what your problem is? It's never a good thing, is it? You know that that's not a great conversation that you're about to have. You know what your problem is? You like to control everything, was one of them I had. Fucking damn right I do. Why? Who wouldn't want to control stuff? I want to control my income. I want to control how many hours I work. I want to control my lifestyle. I want to control my physique. That's not going so well. We just had a delivery from the UK, Bakewell Tarts. Diet's not working. But I want to be in control. You're a control freak. You're right. I am. You're a dreamer. Yeah, absolutely. 100% spot on. You know what your problem is? You're a dreamer. Oh, really? I got called a dreamer, by the way, when I was like 14, I think it was, in high school, by my maths teacher. I wonder what they're doing now. Certainly not living in Spain. And I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what we're doing. But why do we allow other people's versions of words and we take them on board and then we use them in everyday conversation? I just don't like it. And you know who's really good at doing this is the newspapers. The newspapers, The Sun, The Daily Mail, The Express, those kind of newspapers are great at writing those kind of headlines. And you can have two people doing exactly the same thing. And Meghan against Kate, let's just say. Kate can do no wrong. She rubs her tummy, and it's in a, you know, when she's pregnant, and it's in a loving way. And Meghan is bragging in her pregnancy. It's the same action, two different headlines using two different words, depending on whether they like them or not. And think about how this is with you and about how people treat you and the words that people use to describe you. And if they're using the word obsession, he's got an obsession with Iron Man. Like, what does that even mean? He's got an obsession with wealth creation. Or I remember once my parents said, I can't remember which one it was, they said, oh, been on another course, have you? Yeah, as well, that's a negative thing. Oh, you've learned something new, have you? And here you are going to implement something new. Yeah, that's the whole point. That's why I paid thousands of pounds to go on a training course. Why would you not want to do that? Why would you not want to improve? Are you obsessed with self-improvement? You're dedicated with self-improvement. Let's pick another word. Failure. Like, we have this word called failure. The word failure means that you tried to do something, you didn't succeed. And I would argue with the word failure, because I don't think the word failure kind of describes the whole situation. You might have undertaken a task and not got the result that you wanted, but did you fail? I don't think you did. I think you learned a way not to make it work. And I hate the Edison story. I didn't fail 999 times. I just learned 999 times of how not to make a light bulb. Whereas actually Edison nicked the idea off Tesla and patented it. You know, the whole Edison thing kind of winds me up a little bit, because he's a great, you know, stealing other people's ideas and patenting them. But this idea of failure of, well, I've done this and I didn't get the result I want, that isn't failure, okay? I had a failed relationship, let's say. That's not a failure. It just meant that for whatever reason, that person and this person couldn't get the thing to work. And that could be for a whole reason of different reasons, okay? It could be that actually you grew and the other person didn't. That's not a failed relationship. You've simply moved on, you've grown, and you've expanded your awareness into something else. Made a decision to leave the old relationship. This is me talking about my previous relationship, actually. But it's like, learning is not the end. Sorry, failure isn't the end. Failure isn't this end. Oh, equals failure. Marriage split up equals failure. That's not what it means. It means one person grew, the other person didn't. Or the other person grew and you didn't. Whatever that happens to me, okay? Or it could be, I tried to run a business and I didn't get the result that I wanted and I had to lay people off. I'm a failure. No, no. You just learn the lessons ready for next time. Like, we're literally right now, we're just in the middle of taking over 50% of a lettings agency. And I had a lettings agency 10 years ago and we sold it for personal reasons. It was all down to my previous relationship, the connections, the emotional ties, the wispy, ethereal emotional ties to that old agency. We had to get rid of it. And I always knew at some point I would get into being owning a lettings agency. And we had successes in that old agency and we had failures in that old agency. All of those led to what we're about to do in the next agency. So, and actually we sold the old agency and did quite well off that. But now we're about to move all those lessons that we learned into something new. We had those failures and we had those wins. All of those wins and failures will go into the next agency and accelerate what we're doing, because we already know what to do, what not to do. And of course, times have changed. You know, back in those days, it was all search engine optimization and Rightmove, I guess. Whereas now it's email lists. It's a lot of social media. It's a lot of networking events. Some SEO. Some of it will be Rightmove, I guess. But the failure isn't the end. The failure is the beginning. The failure of the task is the beginning of the learnings, ready to do it again, having advantage of the learnings that you've just got, which if you didn't have those as learnings, you wouldn't be able to improve what you're already doing. And it's just this idea of what people think is failure is completely not failure. And that's why they fail, right? Is because they don't take failure on the chin and they don't go, okay, whatever reason, what can I put in place for next time to make sure that this never happens or that this ends in a different result? What are the things that we need to do? So one of them is having, it's called sensory acuity, I think it is. I can't remember the words now. It's in NLP. It's about having acuity, looking at what's going wrong and identifying what's going wrong, and then being able to change the behavior so the thing that you try and do next actually works the next time. I don't know anybody who jumped on a bike when they're 5 years old and learned to ride their bike. I don't know anybody who's done that without falling off, grazing their knees, and so on and so on. I don't know anyone who's created a business and it's woof, it's gone off like that. Everyone's had failures. I was watching some Frank Kern last week, and he was talking about when you create a sales funnel and you get it right first time, that is what we call, it's a technical term in the industry called a fucking miracle. And it's 100% correct. We don't get things right the first time. I've had, you know, think about this. Think about this in terms of failed relationships, okay? I've had so many failed relationships, it's off the scale. Does that make me a failure at relationships? I'm married for 6 years. I think six might be seven. married for 6 years, happily married. So all those previous failed relationships got me to this point and helped me learn what needs to happen to have a successful relationship. That's it. Now, I could go, oh, I'm such a failure, I'm never having a relationship again. How does that work? So most people give up far, far too early without continuing on the journey of learning and having behavioral flexibility to adapt what you're doing and how you're approaching things. Let's look at a different one. Let's take rejection as a word, because I like the word rejection in this context. Rejection can be in relationships, or it can be you've gone and tried to get a sale on the phone. It could be that you're in Dragon's Den and you're getting rejected. Like, rejection really means that you didn't explain the value properly. It's really important to kind of differentiate these words here, I think. Rejection means you didn't explain the value properly. So you go up to the woman of your dreams or the man of your dreams and you go, you're amazing, let's go out for a date. And they go, no. Did you explain the value properly? Maybe, maybe not. I like, you could be a munter. I don't know if you know that word, munter. You might not be their type. You might be too short, too tall, whatever, right? Dragon's Den, did you explain the value properly if you got rejected? Of course you didn't. Or it could be other things as well, by the way. It could be that what you had to offer just didn't match what they were looking for, which could be the relationship one as well. But you go, oh, I'm always getting rejected. Oh, that's, you know, constantly happening. It must be me. There must be something wrong with me. What's wrong with me? I mean, you ask yourself that question and your little brain kicks in and it goes, well, you're this, you're that, you're something else. And it comes out with a million reasons because you've asked it an open-ended question. What's wrong with me? When you ask a question like that, the brain goes off and it tries to find the answer for you. And boy, has it got a lot of answers when you ask that question. A better question would be to ask, why is it so windy all of a sudden? That's not actually the question. I'm just asking why it's so windy. A better question to ask is, why? What would be a better question? Why am I always a failure? What special attributes have I got that's going to make me a success? You're funny. I think I'm funny. Doesn't matter if I am or not. I think I am, so it matters. You're funny, you're sharp, you're on the ball, you can work hard, got a lot of experience, you've had a lot of success. There's all these extra things that you could do. Your brain will go off and it will go and answer the questions. And the point here is to start asking the better questions. And most people don't ask better questions. They just ask the same negative question again and again and again. Why am I obsessed and it's not working? Why am I a failure? Why am I rejected all the time? Complete bullshit questions. Stupid questions. Why would you ask yourself those questions? Why would you put yourself on the back foot straight away by asking ridiculously crappy questions of yourself? How about you ask better questions? How can I increase my dedication to my goals? Much better. Like, I'm thinking about running machines and audiobooks right now. And I'm like, I just need to spend more time on the running machine. Because I know more time on the machine, as much as I hate it, means better results, obviously. And then how can I improve that? So listen to audiobooks. Can I get through a book a month or a book every 2 weeks or a book a week? What do I need to do? There's 6 hours in a book, 6 hours a week on a treadmill. That's an hour a day. Great. I can do that. 45 minutes a day, whatever it happens to be. 10 hours in a book, well, let's do 45 minutes a day over 14 days. I can get through that. How do you change from being obsessed to being dedicated? And how do you change the questions surrounding that? Instead of asking yourself, why am I such a failure? How about you ask yourself, what resources can I use to increase my levels of successes? What can I write a list of resources that I can use to increase my level of success? Totally different question. And this is all that self-talk that we talk about. But, you know, the little, I always like Tom and Joe, where they have an angel on one side and a devil on the other side. And the angel's telling you to be nice and don't eat the donuts. And the devil's going, eat them and drink whiskey and get shit-faced. So it's like this self-talk and rephrasing the words that you use are really, really important. And the thing, let's use rejection, which is about you not explaining yourself properly and removing that. Instead of asking, why am I rejected all the time, into how can I be more accepted as much as possible? That's a completely different question. It sends you off in a completely different tangent. Woof. Than this whole tangent of why am I completely rejected? How can I be more accepted? It's totally different ways to view the world, all based around the questions that you ask yourselves and the words that you use to describe your current situation. We've got a comment. I'm just about to close it up there, but we've got a comment. And we've got a smiley face. Thank you so much. Do you like my smiley face? Shall I do that again? Are you ready? Brilliant. Right, that will do us for today. Hope you enjoyed that. We'll catch up with you on Monday. Our timing, by the way, is so all over the place. I'm so sorry. It's supposed to be 12 noon. It's all over the place. Deal with it. We're in lockdown. It's a party. It doesn't matter. Right, we'll speak to you on Monday. We're on a business growth show. If you've got any questions, anything you want me to cover, come over to the Facebook group, stick them in there, and I will go through your questions. All right, we'll speak to you soon. Have a good weekend. Stay safe, and we'll speak to you soon. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.